Honest, why would that be? Does anybody know?
Well, I'm using my phone, so I have to do this thing where I set my phone so I'm
It's okay. It's fine. I just it's just really evidently no big deal. Nice beer here.
I was received an email that Steve Jensen is not able to attend today. So, and it looks like we do have a quorum, so that's good. I got the recording going, so Chris, feel free to call the meeting to order and start leading the parade. I want to let you know that we do have presently seven attendees on the Zoom call. That's more than I was expecting. One of them I know is a representative from Public Works for the physical and environmental constraints permit that is fourth on the agenda. And I know that Casey, Sue, and Amy are all here for the last item that's on our agenda. So we may want to move that one up. And Chris, I'll leave it to you how you want to handle sequencing, but it might be best to do the P&E. And followed by the Clay Creek Gardens. And I guess I want to try to figure out if any of these other attendees are here representing other applications. Alice, I've gone ahead and asked you to talk. Can you tell me what application you're representing?
Oh, I'm with Clay Creek Gardens.
Great, thank you. Amy, I already know you are. Same with Casey, there's Kevin. Millie, can you tell me what application you were here for? All right, well, I don't have a response from them. And Peter, can you please tell me what application you're here to represent if you are?
Can you hear me?
I can.
Yes, 386 B Street, the box elder.
Okay, so that changes things up a little bit, Chris. So the very first application, the third, pardon me, the very first, the fourth and fifth have representation. So perhaps we should go B Street, P&E, followed by Clay Creek Gardens, but I'd leave that to you.
That's plan. Yeah, let's do that. So it is 6:02. I'll call the meeting to order, the Aspen Tree Commission. First up, we'll have approval of minutes from last month. I had a chance to review those with.
I have, and I move to approve the minutes as written.
We have a second.
Nice to hear.
All those in favor, by a show of hands, please.
Sorry, who was the second?
Eric.
Eric.
Thank you.
One second. And next we have liaison reports. Peter, how's things at the parks this month?
Pretty good. We have been doing all the demo in-house for the Japanese garden, removal of pretty much everything except the trees that are to remain, and that's just about done. So Toru was in town yesterday. I talked to him. He's ready to get going on it, and he's gonna come in and with solid ground and do some grading and some of the initial work there. And we also, I wanted to mention, got the large witch hazel plant moved from up near Granite Street, almost directly below, to a spot on Windburn Way at the bottom of the stairs. So we're keeping our fingers crossed on that one. It looks good so far, but I know time will tell. But I think we did pretty well to keep the roots intact.
Good job.
Cool. Fun to see that come to fruition. Aaron, anything new with the city we should know about?
No, I don't have anything significant to report to the tree commission. No.
Okay.
Aaron, would this be a time to report back about the Oak Street? Or do you want to do that on a separate way?
on Oak Street. Refresh me on what you're referring to. I'm sorry.
The land clearing that's going on along Bear Creek.
Oh, you mean North Mountain?
Yes. Sorry, North Mountain. Yes.
So I think I would like to discuss that later. It's in the hands of code enforcement. I don't have much to report on it, but let's touch on that at the end of the meeting.
Okay, great. Okay. Thanks.
All right. With that, we'll move into the type one reviews. And again, to reiterate, we'll do 386 B Street first, then on to Morton Street, West Ivy, followed by Clay Creek Gardens. So this is the time and place for the Tree Commission review portion of the land use public hearing. If you wish to speak at the hearing, please keep your comments and testimony limited in scope to issues, comments, or concerns pertaining to the landscaping and trees. The following procedure will be used in this hearing. Number one, the public hearing will be open, and those interested in stating their positions regarding the matter to be considered will be invited forward to speak. During the public hearing portion, all who wish to give testimony regarding the specific application are encouraged to do so. If you wish to speak for, against, or comment in any way, please come forward to the table at the appropriate time, give your name, address, and make your statement. Next, at the beginning of the public hearing, staff will present its report to on the action and conditions of approval. At this time, commissioners will have the opportunity to ask staff questions. And then after the staff report, the applicant and applicant's representatives will have 15 minutes to present their proposal. The commissioners may ask questions of the applicant or applicant's representative without affecting the 15 minutes allocated for the applicant's presentation. Fourthly, other members of the audience will be allowed to speak regarding the application and shall be limited to 5 minutes each. Those wishing to testify shall be called forward and give testimony. Next, the staff will then be given an opportunity to ask to respond to any question of the Tree Commission or any matter which has been raised. And finally, the applicant will then have 5 minutes of rebuttal time, after which the public hearing portion will be closed. So, call to order Planning Action Tree 2020-00134. This is at 386 B Street. Owner applicant Peter and Mary Tardif. This is a request for approval to remove a large box elder tree located at the rear of the property, approximately 15 feet from the alley. The application explains that in recent years, the tree has begun to lean considerably and now leans 45-degree angle and poses a hazard should it collapse. Despite years of maintenance, removing canopy weight through regular pruning, the applicant states that any additional removal of the canopy will have a detrimental effect on the overall health of the tree. The application concludes that mitigation of the hazard posed can only be accomplished by removal of the tree. And so did everybody have a chance to visit this? Yes. Any abstentions? Okay. Aaron, staff report, please.
Yeah, so the blurb pretty much says it all. And since the applicant is here, I would like them to speak on their behalf rather than just rehashing what's in the blurb. So I would turn it over to Peter and Mary.
Okay. Welcome.
Thank you. I didn't expect that. Everything's pretty much in there. We had an arborist come out. We've been using Southern Oregon Tree Care for the last 10 years. And this tree in our yard, it's beautiful. And we're not here to cut down a tree, trust me. But it has grown exponentially. And I had him come out this year. And he said if he cuts any more to the canopy, it's going to be harmful to the tree. And I did submit some pictures to you. It does have a 45-degree angle. And one of the feeders off of it is at a 90-degree angle, and he noticed how the trunk of the tree was actually growing into itself, which creates a weak spot on the tree. And every time the wind blows now, it's a little freak out for us. But it at the angle of the tree, the fact that it's aimed towards an historical home, we live in the E.C. Cain house, which is almost 130 years old. And it's aimed right at us. It's aimed at the neighbor's house. It has become a hazard. Now, there is a box elder behind it, just as beautiful, not as big. It's not a problem. It's very vertical. We're just asking to remove the one that can pose danger. And the other thing we've done in this house, just real quickly, is since we've lived here, we've added about 25 trees to this property. And it's been done professionally by both Banyan and Sage Hill. So, again, I want to make the point, we're not here just to cut down trees. We've planted quite a few. This one just poses a hazard. I don't know. What's that? Yeah. You have anything? I don't know if that helps.
Did anybody have any questions for the applicants?
Yeah, I had a quick question just to clarify. The photograph that we have kind of looking toward the back of your house, and we can see the one tree leaning at the angle, and there's another trunk adjacent to that you have not circled. The one that's not circled, is that the one that you're planning on keeping that is an offshoot of the same trunk?
It's a separate tree, but that is the one I'd like
to keep. I couldn't quite see down to where the base. I couldn't tell if it was two separate trees or...
They're planted about 4 feet apart, so it does look like it comes off one. But no, they're two separate trees.
And when you consulted with your arborist, did he feel that he could remove that 45-degree angle tree without harm to the currently 90-degree tree?
Absolutely.
Okay, those are my questions. Thank you.
Anybody else have any questions for? No? Okay, well, at this time, I guess we'll close the public hearing portion. And
Peter and Mari, I'm going to demote you back to being attendees. So you're going to have a brief transition where it cuts out and you go back to being an attendee, okay?
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you guys for coming.
Thanks for coming.
Yep.
Or, virtually. Arborist, you guys got a take on this?
Well, it's really like box elders. I'm kidding.
You really like box elders?
I'm kidding. Did anybody look at it? Did anybody see it?
Yeah, I saw it. It's definitely leaning. You know, I mean, it's leaning just as much or more than the picture shows. In my mind, you know, the amount of weight, box elders are heavy, and they're not the strongest wood. I couldn't see the base, you know, because I was just standing on my truck in the alleyway. But it seems like if there wasn't houses there, it'd be like, wow, that's cool. It's got a lot of style, a lot of character. But the fact that there are houses, like, eventually. I mean, eventually it's going to come down. And, yeah, to do the weight reduction would severely kind of deform it in my mind. It's also pretty close to the foundation. That other tree is really close to the foundation as well. So I could see that being a bigger potentially issue in the future. So that's kind of my feelings about it. If I lived under it, I would want to address it big time or remove it.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same opinion, and they've done a great job of pruning it, and I agree with the assessment that to prune it anymore would be wouldn't look great. And Willie's a good arborist, and I trust his judgment too. And it's kind of that point. These trees are notorious for failing, very weakly wooded, and kind of would be on the fence too if they're in my backyard. And if it were to go, man, it would be ugly. Of two houses. I kind of have a tough time. We've got a respected arborist says it's a hazard, and we say it's not, and then it falls over someday. It's a really good tree, but like you said, Asa, if it goes, you're the guy that said you couldn't cut it down, but that's my two cents. Eric, I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, you're fine. You actually answered my question. So,
sounds like we're kind of in agreement. Can I make a motion to approve as applied for?
I second. All those in favor, show a hand. Well, Eric, your screen's frozen. Are you good? You vote with a yay or nay?
Is it? Yes, I. Yeah.
All right, sounds like a unanimous one.
Is it frozen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yay. There you go.
Yeah. Yay.
Okay. Let's see. Let's find them here. So we'll skip down to Planning Action PA 21-2020-00133. The subject property, this is Morton Street to West Ivy Lane. This is Hardy Engineering Associates in the city of Ashland. The owner is DNS Ventures LLC. Request for physical and environmental constraints review permit for hillside land to facilitate the construction of an approximately 300-foot section of a 12-inch water line that extends from Ivy Lane to Morton Street. The area of disturbance subject to the review is just west of the Ivy Lane right-of-way. The request includes severe constraints review because portions of the property are greater than 35% slopes. The application also includes a request for tree removal permit to remove 19 trees between 6 inches DBH to 18 inches DBH. Anything to add to that, Aaron?
Yeah, just briefly, this project came before the Tree Commission previously and was approved. The entire application was approved in 2014. And then for various reasons, the project didn't move forward and the land use approval lapsed. And so they are reapplying now for the PNE, and the application is unchanged, to the best of my knowledge, from when it came before the Tree Commission in 2014. I don't know if you went up to Ivy to the end of the roadway there. It's a little bit tricky to know where the property line is because the right of way is not fully developed to the end of that property. But basically from there, the line is going to go downhill north. And I would turn it over to Kevin to present the application further and field any questions that you may have.
Welcome, Kevin.
Thank you. I recognize some of you. But yeah, like Aaron was saying, I mean, there are some minor changes. Aaron, I didn't know if you realized, but are on that tree removal table, I only had 14 trees. I think you might have used the 19 trees from the previous application.
I probably did. So thank you for correcting me on that.
Yeah. It's pretty straightforward. I mean, it's a very important water line for the city to loop a piece of our water system. And in addition to that, it enables us to eliminate antiquated pump station. So that's some real key benefits for public works. The location of the water line and the number of trees to remove, I mean, we secured a permanent easement on the edge of this undeveloped property. You don't want to run them. Water line right through the middle of somebody's property. It pretty much the trees that we are asking to remove are those within the area that we need for construction. You know, it's like a 20-foot easement, and almost everything within that 20-foot zone we're asking for removal. And another thing to note is part of the trees, if you look at that tree removal table, the first four are actually on City of Ashland property. I don't know if that makes any difference, but.
And if I'm reading that correctly, there weren't many trees of size, looked like maybe a 15-inch madrone was the biggest one.
Yeah, there's actually a pretty good size Doug fir, 21-inch, but it's dead. It's leaning over. It's more of a hazard than anything at this point.
Do we have any questions for Kevin?
Yeah, Kevin, as you mentioned, four of the trees are on city property. The rest are basically an easement. Well, whose property does that go through, that easement?
It's the property owner is DNS. I can't remember the rest of it.
Aaron, Ventures, DNS Ventures, I believe, is the name of the property owner.
Yeah, Ventures. So it's a corporation. We had to track them down, and they actually signed the PNE permit.
And they're not, Aaron, they're not here representing themselves at all?
No, the applicant is the city, the Public Works Department. It just happens to be on DNS Ventures land. That parcel, you know, they're probably a developer, and the likelihood of that parcel actually developing when you consider the topography, I think is pretty unlikely. But anyway, regardless, the city is the applicant.
And then one last question. Is the fire department okay if you remove that the older pump?
Oh, yeah. They very much encourage it.
Okay, cool. That's the end of my questions.
Okay, if no other questions, we'll close the public hearing portion. Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin. Perfect.
I'll just start. I think we've already approved it before. The people who would care the most, you know, the fire department, they're encouraging it. The landowner whose easement it goes through, they're not here complaining about it. So I think I'm ready to make a motion.
Anybody else want to weigh in? I'm of the same mind.
Me too.
Go for it, Asa.
I make a motion to approve the application as submitted.
Second?
Yeah, okay.
Ding! I got there first.
Second by Kat, all those in favor? A yay or a hand, please, or a nay?
Yeah. Yay.
Unanimous again.
Yay.
Oh. All right, then we'll move on to Clay Creek Gardens. This is a call to order planning action 2020-00143. The subject property is Clay Creek Gardens. I don't have a bird for this one. And I honestly, yeah, so I've not seen, I think I missed this one on the agenda when I was doing my drive arounds, but I know the neighborhood quite well. Anybody else familiar with this neighborhood?
I didn't get to this one.
Okay. So yeah, if you could fill in some blanks there for us, Aaron.
Absolutely. So I've gone ahead and promoted both Amy, who is, I believe, the chair of the landscaping committee, and Casey Rowland to attendees, or probably to panelists. There you are, Amy. Can you hear me? Okay, and there's Casey. You're both muted right now. And Amy, is there anyone else from your homeowners association that needs to be promoted to a panelist for the purposes of presenting, or the other members simply here to watch? You're muted still, Amy.
I think that Alice might want to, and I thought that Sue Kennedy might be here, but apparently she is not. So
she is. She is. Do all of you have components to present?
I actually don't have. I don't have anything to present in particular.
Okay.
Casey is going to be able to answer the questions.
Sure. So
I can't speak for them, actually.
Sure. Sure. Let's go ahead and Sue, I've gone ahead and allowed you to talk. If you can unmute your mic, do you need to?
No, I just want to make sure that I'm able to speak at least.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Well, I'll just go ahead and leave you where you are with your mic open then. As far as this application, you guys may recall that we've had a couple of administrative actions that have come through dealing with updating street landscaping plans. The first one we did was Ashland Village HOA over there with the Village Square, et cetera. And then more recently, we addressed an application that was similar to that one for the Birchwood HOA. The initial conversations that I had with Amy was that there was a number of trees that at the time were described to me as between, I believe it was 10 to 12, 10 to 14. There was a number of trees that had been identified to be removed as emergent. And then when the application materials finally came in, it's developed a little bit, and the narrative discusses, you know, I believe it's 18 trees that have been identified for removal, and they're wanting to do it, I believe, over a multi-year plan. Amy and I had a conversation about this the other day because there is a little bit of difficulty there in making a finding that a tree is a hazard, but in approving its removal, but at a distant time, because that sort of is in conflict with the nature of your finding that the tree is a hazard. What I'd like to do is hand it over to Casey to speak about the nature of the trees that need to be removed, the emergent nature of it, and the proposed timeline. So, Casey, would you mind speaking to that?
Yes. Am I all good to go here?
Yes, you are.
I've never been on Hollywood Squares before, so this is a first for me. Hello. So these trees all pretty much have the same characteristic, and that is during the summertime shedding large branches. And it's either over a walkway, over a driveway, over the street, or sometimes all three in one shot. So over the course of probably 6 months, I think I've been out there six times to pick branches up out of the street or off the sidewalk that failed in those trees. When I looked at them about 10 years ago, maybe it was 9 years ago, I think I gave recommendations to do a little bit of end weight reduction, and they also inquired about elevation for street clearance and sidewalk clearance, 8 on the sidewalk, 13 on the street, whatever it was. So they didn't go with me. They went with somebody else. Whoever else did the work after I left there that time, kind of flush cut all the lower limbs and stripped the insides out and put all the weight out on the very ends of these branches. And they have an issue with anthracnose to where they don't even really get their permanent for the year set of leaves on them until probably July or so. If you go there May, June, there's about 10 leaves on each tree. So as the fungus defoliates them, they just keep sprouting from the very ends, compounding the problem. And in addition, they are the most brittle sycamores I think I've ever climbed. Usually on a sycamore, branches like this, not a big deal to chuck a line over them and footlock up, jug up, and put your weight on them and trust them. These are like you grab them with your hand and yard on them, and they just pull right out of the stem. After the September 8th fire, we did a bunch of end weight reduction. They seemed to be holding together pretty good, but still shedding branches here and there. I think two or three of them just snapped off about halfway up. I don't know if you did any site visits and looked at that, but, just the two thirds of the canopy was on the ground when we went back. And what we don't want to do is lose canopy coverage in that neighborhood. It's really important to have all as much shade as possible there. And they know that, but, the writing's on the wall. I think those trees are just going to follow suit. I doubt any of them will be there in 10 years, but you know, that's just kind of a wild ass guess, as it were. So, and we weren't really sure how to do when I say they're a hazard. I did the tree assessment forms on them, hazard evaluation forms. They're all pretty much the same. They all have the same penchant for losing branches. I think every single tree there had lost branches over the last summer. Some of them weren't that big, you know, inch in diameter or so. Some of them were 6 inches in diameter and 20 feet long. And some of them were just the whole half of the tree tore out and was laying on the ground. So I think the best interest of the HOA is to do some kind of preemptive strike to where they're phasing them in sequence to where they're not losing a bunch of canopy coverage at one time. And I was asked to go through and kind of give them a grade, which I did, one meaning retain it and 10 meaning get rid of it or it'll get rid of itself. And then also I made a recommendation that they have, they hired Dan Bish to come out for a couple hours and give his input on the best way to go about species and also to kind of go along as I was going through and grade them or at least make a comment on it. So, I don't know. You probably have a lot of questions about individual trees. I kind of have them all memorized. So if I don't know what else to say, I'll just kind of, answer the questions as they come.
Yeah. So what is your plan, Casey, as far as removals per year? Are you just going to do a handful per year and kind of space it out?
Yeah. I think it's going to kind of go as the budget allows. if they had an unlimited budget, I still don't think they would even do them all in one shot, just because we'd lose so much cami coverage. And also, we're trying to take into consideration, if we do take out two adjacent trees and we have that strip there, those trees are going to be really exposed, the new trees that we put in there. So we want to try to get trees going with as much protection around them as possible to give them a good, you know, chance to get a canopy on them, because there's going to be a lot of radiation. They're going to be really taking a hit with the reflective blast off of the street and the sidewalks and such. And they're also going to have to kind of deal with the soil conditions there, because if you go and look, all the roots are in the top of the soil, actually sticking halfway out of the soil. There's just nowhere for them to go. So and then also to take into consideration, when we do removals, I would imagine that they put the infrastructure, all the underground in first, and then put the trees on top of them. There may be places where we can't replace them, where we can't stump grind because of gas, fiber optic, underground utilities.
And so this list, this chart of the 18 trees, those are all of those you're eventually wanting to remove?
Yeah.
1 through 18?
Over time. I mean, we don't want to remove any of them, but, yeah, you know, as... I get it. This was a place where I actually took James Urban when he visited and did his seminar. That was the first neighborhood I took him to. Mm-hmm. So, and we spent quite a bit of time there. And, you know, he said pretty much it's just an unmitigated disaster.
Why did he say that, Casey?
Mostly just because of soil conditions. So when that neighborhood was done, they pretty much road rolled the whole thing, compacted to 95%. Planted the trees on top of that, hooked drip irrigation up to them, and maybe they were sitting in 3 inches of topsoil at the most. So there just is no anchorage on them. There was a tree that I took down there that we got an emergency removal on. When I was up in it, a climber came down out of his tree and was walking past mine and was informed me that my tree was about to fall over with me in it. So.
And I'm assuming that with the replanting of the new trees that's going to go ahead, that you're going to be addressing these soil conditions that would prevent that kind of failure in the future?
I'm going to definitely recommend it. I think they should get in there. I think Plant Oregon will end up doing it, and Dave's got an air spade. And the best way to do it would be to either fluff with an air spade or, for lack of a better term, frack with an aerator. But to definitely give the roots some place to go, because right now they're just starting to destroy all the sidewalks. And one of the houses there has the front steps to the house lifted up about 6 inches and has just destroyed the whole driveway.
I had a question about the disease that you say is the anthracnose. I'm not an arborist, so I'm not really familiar with that. What's the risk of that contaminating the new plantations if you do it just in this piecemeal manner rather than getting rid of all diseased trees?
We would pick trees that weren't subject to that. And I think because there's such a big group planting of sycamores there, and the only, you know, remedial action for anthracnose is to prune out infected parts and get the material off site. But this anthracnose has been in there so long and so severe that it's all the way down to the core of every branch in there. Mm-hmm. You can take branches normally that you would not have a problem tying into and break them over your knee. 3-inch diameter branches just fall apart in your hands. So, unfortunate when you put a bunch of the same species together like that, when the pathogen comes in, it just exponentially multiplies in there. And those trees were actually probably bred to resist anthracnose, but nobody told the anthracnose. So.
Any other questions for?
There is one. If you do a site visit or if you have already, there's one tree that's actually in a common area, more towards Tolman Creek Road there in a green lawn, and it doesn't have any of the problems that the other ones do. And I don't know if it was because it has more soil volume Even though the water table is real high there, when the roots are all sitting up on top of that compacted soil, I don't think they get near enough irrigation. And that might be a problem with the anthracnose as well. But that tree that's out in the lawn is just, you know, it's a sweetheart. It's a great tree. All the interior foliage is left on it. It still has the same anthracnose problem. It just doesn't have the problem of shedding branches and a lot of surface rooting going on.
Casey, did you say that the tree that's out in the grass that is on the list for requested removal?
No. And there's some that are right down Clay Creek Way. I believe it's Clay Creek Way. I don't think any of those are slated for removal just because they just haven't shown a penchant for losing big branches. But if you walk around and look, you'll see trees in various state of self-destruction there. Big socket tear outs, or the whole stem is just broken off, you know, almost up to a foot in diameter.
Thanks.
Yeah.
So one thing I wanted to just point out briefly, I'm sorry, Chris, I didn't interrupt you.
No, was Peter trying to say something? I thought I saw Peter talking at the screen, but he's muted.
You're muted.
Nothing, Pete? Okay,
Aaron. Sorry. Oh, I was just going to ask Casey if the good tree you were referring to, is that a sycamore as well?
Yeah, I think they're all London Plains.
Okay.
I think they're Platanus acerifolia bloodgood, but I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure they are.
Cool.
Aaron, what were you going to say?
I was just going to add that because this is a kind of a non-standard application, and because they're street trees in particular, and because we're processing it as an administrative land use action rather than a type one, we have a lot of flexibility here. I noticed that a number of you said you didn't get a chance to make site visits. You guys can choose how you want to address this, either approving the application in part. If you want to see more detail about the phasing and you don't think that that's in here enough, you could ask for that, or, you know, just deliberate. I just wanted to let you know that there's a lot of options on this, and there's not the same shot clock that we have with a type one land use action because of the administrative nature of it. So I just wanted to point that out.
Well, yeah, one suggestion I'll make, too, is if everybody can agree on a time, we could all go out there and do a walkthrough and take a look at that, and I can kind of, you know, explain in detail and give you a little bit more history on what's going on there.
You know, so I have a question. Can you hear me? Okay. So, Eric, you live in the neighborhood.
Have you had need to excuse myself, I believe.
Okay.
You're refusing?
I think I do, Aaron. Is that right?
If you live in the neighborhood, probably so.
Yes.
Okay. Anybody else? I forgot to ask that. Anybody else need to refuse themselves?
Well, does he need... not me, but does Eric need to recuse himself and like get out of the room kind of recuse, or does he just abstain from voting?
If you feel more comfortable, I can go ahead and excuse him from the room to be an attendee for the balance of this application.
I'd appreciate his insight, I think.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Sure.
Yeah.
And just because he happens to live in the neighborhood, I don't think is necessarily a...
Yeah, because there's no financial gain or...
Exactly, know, yeah. So I'm not sure if it's necessary.
Okay, well, I agree with everything that Casey said and more. Everything. And the soil is an absolute disaster.
Yeah, I think the biggest question in my mind is around just the staged removal of it all.
I would like to say something about this. I think that we, as Aaron suggested and Casey suggested, we can be flexible, and what we want to do is provide the best opportunity for new trees to grow. And so I think for us, this staged removal is not only keeping as much of a canopy as we can throughout this, but it's also, like Casey said, planting these trees in moments when it's good, when it's good for them, you know. And so I think that, we're actually looking to you for some guidance here. We would like to do this, but we want to do this in a way that works for us. And of course, we're going to use Plant Oregon to find the trees that will be best under these circumstances and planted in a way that they grow, you know, well. And so I just think that we put multi-year just to stress that we wanted to do this in a way that is productive, and it's a way to enhance the neighborhood and the trees in the neighborhood.
Yeah, I think the whole idea behind the removal and replacement plan is to make it as the least amount of shock as possible on the residents and the new trees that go in.
And we were recognizing
rather than wait until the 11th hour to when now. You know, we're talking about taking half of them down and replacing them with trees that are really going to suffer there. So
we know we have maybe a month or two now, and then we would go into the fall, the October timeframe again, October, November timeframe. So those are the timing of planting is what we're also looking at, as Amy was speaking to.
I think you could probably get away with planting there all the way up till, I would think, May, the latter part of May. I wouldn't push it much beyond that.
Yeah.
And you're just speaking in loose terms, you're thinking 15%, 30% of the list at a time, and it'll budget, as budgets allow as well. I totally know you guys in the Plant Oregon have a great plan together, but just so I can get a broader sense.
I would leave that to them, but...
Yeah.
So I don't know, Amy, what do you...
Well, I think that part of this is how, well, if this goes through, if you're in agreement in some sense, I mean, can we do four trees in the spring? And this is a number I'm just throwing out there. Four trees, five trees, and then have Plant Oregon plant, and then... I think that, some of these trees are not like canopy trees. The cherries and some of the ones down at the end near Tolman Creek, they are not canopy trees. And right. It might be nice to have some canopy trees down there. But so it might be a way to kind of look at this and kind of plot it out. Okay, which trees do we do first? And then how do we plant? And so this is all... quite new to us, and we're just kind of hoping to work together to make this happen.
Yeah, one suggestion I could make is we prioritize the ones we already prioritized and take the worst offenders. So the two that are broken in half, of course, the other two that have just shed branches everywhere that have the big socket tear outs in the stem, the little cherries and stuff down on the end. Mm-hmm. They're not going anywhere, and they're of no consequence if they do fall over. They're a lot less than the ones that are right over the walkway where there's kids walking under them all the time.
Right, or those trees that are not only dumping branches but raising things up in a quite a astonishing way.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, my experience with that neighborhood doesn't seem like there's been a windstorm go by that you haven't lost branches or.
You got it. That's true. You got it.
Amazingly enough, it was the hot, still summer days was their biggest. That's when they really were, summer branch crop. And I have a feeling that's, I'm not sure why, but.
Casey really has been living in our neighborhood this year. He said he was here like eight times. Well, I think it's a little more than that.
Has anyone from the neighborhood expressed extreme opposition to this plan of phasing the trees out?
No. In fact, the parents who live here would probably prefer that we take every sycamore out right away. But no, there's not. We had, in fact, Eric, you received the documentation, right, as part of the association. We put the plan together, an approach, let's put it that way. We put an approach together and in terms of going through and identifying the most obtrusive situations and using the grading system that Casey had brought up. And so we went through all of that. We did some assessments with Dan Bish, with Casey and costs and so forth. So we built, this year, we built a special assessment into the dues this year to help cover for the trees. So we know we've got a certain amount of money to be able to do a certain number of trees in this year.
And do we know what are we going to replace these with? What?
The replacement is based on the city. We looked at the city guidebook on trees for the size of parking strips. And then Dan Bish, in terms of his recommendations of those from that list in particular, for canopy and structure. Pardon?
What are they?
I think some of the ones that we were talking about were cultivars of maple and oak and parochia. And what was the other one, Casey?
Zelkova.
Zelkova.
Yeah. There Zelkova. Might be some Zelkovas or hackberries might be nice too, if you get the right ones. Mm-hmm. There are some Zelkovas there, and they're a real weird one. They're kind of a disaster as well, but that's for a different meeting.
Right. And the neighborhood loves the trees. I mean, they are the treescape in our neighborhood really is quite beautiful. So they are very interested in maintaining that look, but they definitely want to mitigate the danger that we're in at this point.
Yeah, it's such a shame how poorly they're formed and honestly were pruned some years ago. I remember looking at it years ago to prune, and there's so few options left to prune it well because it's all been gutted.
Yeah, well, we went in and did a bunch of end weight, and it was put out the fire. So I've pretty much been up every tree there, and we took as much as we could off, keeping in mind we didn't want them to sprout like crazy because then that just does the same thing, that it just puts all the load out on the very ends again. It's kind of like this perpetual motion machine to where, you kill one and 10 come to the funeral. You got to be real careful about pruning those, over pruning them.
Unless you pull them.
That went through my mind. But that technique is done from the minute the tree is planted, not, yeah.
A little late to the game on that.
They remind me a lot of the alley of sycamores in the park. And I don't know. I think, Peter, you've probably been up those a couple of times. They're just harrowing. You get up there and you pull on a limb that you normally could hang a horse from, and the whole thing comes off in your hand. And yeah,
I think as a long-range plan, those are going to come out someday, too.
Well, I'd like to see that meeting.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe I shouldn't have said that.
I think everyone knows, everyone that looks at the trees, they're falling apart.
Plus, just the allergic reaction to those leaves, particularly in the fall, is just pathetic.
Yeah, we only work on them when they're dormant. So,
before we close this part of the meeting, Casey, is the two tilias on the end of the list, 17 and 18, is it just bark damage? Is that what those are about?
Yeah, one of them is just sun fried all the way down that southwest side. And I don't think that's a very big tree. It's a small one, right?
Yeah.
And then the other one, there's a underground, I think it's a pad mount transformer or fiber optic box there. And they trenched all the way through and cut all the roots off of that. And that whole half of the tree died. Somebody has since, last time I was there, went and cut that whole dead side off of the tree. But so those cuts that you see there, aren't mine.
Okay, thanks.
One of the things,
then, if anybody wants to go down and take a walk through there, even if you got to do it in a couple stages, I can go. It's only going to take us you know, an hour to walk through, and it's pretty self-evident of the ones that were the initial bite out of the project would probably be if it's five or six trees or four or five trees. I'm pretty sure you'll be in agreement with it.
One of the things that we did this year as we worked on this with Casey is we inventoried all the trees in the parking strips. We created a tree map for all the parking strips. So we are keeping track of what we're, you know, what we've got, what we're taking out, what we're putting back in again. So a lot of work has gone into this in this period of time.
Okay. Any other questions for the applicants or Casey? All right, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing portion. You guys may be back if we come up with more questions, but thank you very much for
being here.
Thank you. All right, I'm going to send you guys both back to the attendee room. Thank you.
Thanks.
Asa, are you familiar with these trees? Have you been through here?
I drove passed through that neighborhood, I think on a Clay Creek Way when it was like almost dark tonight, right running over here. And I saw a bunch of sycamores that were real skinny and, you know, just a kind of a monocrop of sycamores. And I was like, maybe they want to thin out every other one. I don't know. So I didn't check out any of them specifically, unfortunately. I think it makes sense to phase them out. My concern is that, and honestly, you know, the way I feel, you know, if anyone knows a lot about trees in this area, it's Casey. And I don't think he would want to phase out a tree if it doesn't, you know, if he doesn't honestly think it needs to go. So I think the plan to phase him out is good versus having like a clear cut and then have everything sun-baked. My one, you know, I would be concerned if there was a neighbor here being like, don't cut down my tree. I'd say, well, just let that person keep their tree, you know. But there's no neighbors here representing themselves. Another concern would be that if we go ahead and approve the phase out, and to me, you know, I'll just go with what they think, you know, is the right amount to phase out, you know. But my one concern is that they phase out a huge chunk of trees and it doesn't get replanted and no one's really on them about that, you know.
So you can make a number of different conditions of approval. You know, you could make a condition of approval that they need to come back a year from now for an update and you approve no more than X number of trees. There's a number of different ways that you can build conditions into that to you know, satisfy those concerns.
But an approval, they have about a year, right, to act on that approval.
So again, because we're handling this as a administrative action, it's a little bit different than a standard type one land use action where the approval lasts for 18 months. Typically, when you approve a standard type one tree removal, that approval is valid for a period of 18 months. And then at that point, if the tree hasn't been removed, the approval expires. But this is more like a cohesive plan that you're approving that will effectively run with the land and becomes a part of the homeowners association file. So it's a little bit different in that way.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I think I would echo those concerns, Asa. And we could suggest maybe only X percentage be done per year with a follow-up confirmation that X amount of trees have been replaced within year and a half. I think my only hesitation signing off on a long-term plan is that Casey and plan order involved, great. You know, I'm all for it. If that should change, you know, and it's hard to put language in that you continue to use a reputable professional and they had some really bad work done years ago. I hate to see that replicated. But Aaron, did you have a you have a comment on that? Or?
I was just going to say, you know, it would seem odd to make a condition of approval that Casey Rowland must do all of the work moving forward.
Yeah.
But if you had a concern of that nature, you could make a condition of approval that all of the approved plan with whatever modifications you guys propose must be done by an ISA certified arborist, for example, right? And that might alleviate some of those concerns.
Yeah, my own hesitation. I don't know if Casey is certified. I don't think he needs to be, but he's still the guy, so I would totally trust with it. So actually, just use language such as reputable or highly regarded, something like that.
Doesn't he have to be licensed and bonded and everything to do that?
I'm sure he's that. The ISA thing is a separate deal. And we can ask Casey directly about that, but I know he has been in the past.
He's kind of famous. I mean, around here, you know.
Yeah, no, it's a moot point with Casey. So.
Okay. Anyway, there should be something as far as the landscape. Whoever does that, they should be licensed. But I've been here since this was formed. This area, this development, and. The homeowners association has always been stellar, always. And there was that one hack that came in at the very beginning that did a horrible job, and that kind of woke everybody up. But as far as I would like to put some kind of conditions in there, you know, license, legal people that are doing that, you know, the work, because like you say, okay, Casey's here and Plant Oregon's here and they're great. But, you know, if something happens and then all of a sudden a different homeowner is the president or whatever, and they hire Joe Bob from whatever. I mean, that would be my only stipulation.
I think most things that come to us, you know, we just sort of assume they're going to do the legal thing with hiring someone, you know, a certified professional. So to me, I don't know if we need to include that, but they're already paying for the mistake, you know, currently. It seems silly for them to cut, you know, the corners in this long-term plan.
Aaron, is it reasonable to recommend that staff time be used to follow up to make sure the trees are replanted?
Within reason, to be honest with you, most tree removals that we approve, unless someone goes out of their way to call me and said, hey, we've taken that tree down, come double check us and sign off on it that the mitigation tree was planted. Unless someone proactively reaches out to me for that, that's not something that I'm going to do necessarily. That said, if something to the effect of, you know, an annual checkup to confirm that the mitigation plantings have been carried out, you know, or something like that, that would be appropriate, I would think.
How about a 3-year check-in from the HOA, just to check in on progress in X amount of years?
I didn't quite hear you because Eric stepped on you. Say it again, please.
I'm sorry.
I'm just wondering about the idea of a check-in 3 years down the road, 5 years down the road, just as a progress and that, you know, plans being adhered to.
I wouldn't want it to be that far down the road. I would think at the very least we would want to, you know, if for say, I think what was quoted in here, I want to say it said 1.5 to 3 years was called out. I would be more than happy to go and do an annual checkup to make sure that mitigations have been carried out.
And even just checking in directly with them, you know, maybe mm-hmm. they come and just give us a quick progress report, who they're working with, how it's going, kind of deal.
Chris, it feels like this is something that I think we discussed a few meetings ago, that at what point do we ever really go back to a tree removal and replace and check that it's been carried out. And I think, unfortunately, what happens is we don't, because that's not really anyone's specific job. And it's not written into the tree permits that, you know, once they've replanted, they call us and we go out and look at it. And it's always something that's kind of been of concern to me, that I think probably most people do remove and replace, and it's all fine, but there is no real oversight on that. And I think it's always something that I've thought needed to be addressed, in terms of, you know, once they've replanted or they're ready to replant, we go and we look at how they're replanting. Is there sufficient soil? Have they provided for irrigation? Is it, you know, that aspect of caring for the trees in the future down the line, that they've been well planted, I think is something that should be on the Tree Commission's radar. Maybe when we go out to look at our requests for approval that month, we also go out and look at the ones that have been replaced. But we don't have that mechanism in place yet. And I see that there's like a huge number of trees that we're looking at right now, but requiring that for this and not for all the other ones that we do, I don't know, it just seems not evenly applied.
Right. Yeah, I think what makes a difference is there's so many being asked for. Without the being overly onerous of them checking in with every single tree. Sorry, Eric, what were you going to say?
Oh, I agree with what Kat said. I think we would be that. I mean, it's like we're singling them out, and yeah, okay, there's a lot more trees and whatever, but, you know, then we're kind of setting a precedent if we do that. You know, then we have to pretty much kind of say that to everybody, don't we? I mean.
Well, Aaron, speak again to what kind of action this is. It's, you spoke to how it's different. It's not quite a planning action, not quite tree.
Yeah. So most of the applications you see come in with a number that says tree-2020, and that means it's a type 1 land use action. The planning number on this was PA-A, and that means it's an administrative action that we're taking. And that's what frees us up to have a little more flexibility. And again, you know, this was a first shot bringing this in, and if you feel that the applicant needs to provide additional information on the phasing or whatever else, I mean, that's certainly another option, and we can bring this back before you again. So, you know, there's plenty of options here.
I mean, I personally think it'd be great to go check out the trees and stuff, but I also kind of feel like we're just going to be kicking the can down the road.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, you know, we either make the decision now or we make a similar decision somewhere down in the future.
Yeah. And I guess I asked Aaron to make that point too, but you guys are speaking to setting a precedent and being kind of unique with this one. Maybe it's not a precedent so much.
But in a way, this is unique. I mean, this application in itself is unique in the nature it's coming before you.
And I like the flexibility to have an overall plan with a lot of trees instead of doing a piecemeal. You know, they have a vision for it, which is great.
Right, because imagine having them come forward to you 18 different times over the course of 3 years, right? And so
that would be awful for everybody.
I do agree with your concern, Chris, in terms of, I feel like my confidence in the decision for removal and replacing these trees is because I know that Casey's handling it, he's making those choices, and Tree Oregon, another very trusted tree service here in the Valley, is going to be providing the replacements and recommendations. And so I feel confident saying, oh yeah, go ahead, looks like you're in good hands. But because there's no guarantee that they'll stay in those hands when they start making budgetary choices as a neighborhood, that makes me a little more hesitant. So I hear your concerns on that.
Yeah.
So I would just add to that, Kat, is one of the first conditions of approval that's appended to almost every application says that all proposals by the applicant shall become binding conditions of approval. And in their materials here, they say specifically that they're working with Plant Oregon for mitigation plantings. And so by invoking that condition of approval, you're effectively saying to them that because they said they're using Plant Oregon for their mitigation plantings, that becomes a condition of approval by virtue of their proposing that. And technically, if they were to go and then have someone else do the planting, from a technical nature, they would be in violation of the land use approval because of that condition of approval. Does that answer your question?
And does it equally apply to the removal of the trees by Casey and the assessment of when they need to be removed or should be?
I would need to read the language that is in their submittal. If it says that specifically, that would be true.
Okay.
And I know we closed the public portion, but Sue made a good point in the chat there that it's in the language of their board that they use KC.
Right. Okay. Well, that answers my concerns.
Yeah.
Just want to let everyone know that my internet seems to be kind of slowing down, kind of wigging out a little bit. So if I ever crash, I'll hopefully get a call from Aaron and just participate via phone.
You're still coming through good on my end, so.
Okay.
Well, let me not quite make a motion, but just suggest again, maybe no more than 25% removal in any 1 year and that they continue to be committed to reputable companies as per the original contract, and that they check in 2 years to purchase the progress report and see how it's all going. Yeah, Asa.
Well, at 25%, you know, essentially that would take like 4 years, and that sounds good as far as having a good canopy, but it sounds like the current canopy, I mean, if it doesn't leaf out until July, whoa. It seems to me like allowing kind of almost up to them, like no more than half at a given time seems more appropriate to me. But if you guys all think 25% is good, I'm fine with that too.
Yeah, I was just kind of throwing it out there.
25% would be 4.5 based on the 18 trees. 30% would be 5. So just FYI.
Why don't you change that to 30%? And I would second it. I mean, that makes sense, right? Rather than 4.5.
Yeah, and I'm not stuck on any one number. It's kind of a suggested starting point.
Yeah.
But I like what you said. I would definitely second that.
And could I pose that to the applicants and their arborists? So that seems like a reasonable number to work with.
Yeah, would you like me to bring them back in as panelists for a moment? Okay, yeah. Sure. Okay, Amy and Casey should be joining us back again.
Yeah, so we see you guys. If you want to unmute, or if you heard my question.
Yeah, we could actually do the 4.5 because there's a couple of them. There's only half the tree left. But yeah, I think what we would do is probably go with the ones that have completely fallen apart and that are falling apart, and those would be the first.
Yeah.
You know, the first batch.
Yeah.
Unless it was going to expose the tree so bad, the new tree on either side that we wanted to leave, you know, pick the worst out of those two, get the new guy going, you know.
I think my only comment about that is that if we have another big windstorm like we did on September 8th, we may lose more trees. So it may be more than 30%.
Yeah.
Given some of the stuff that's been going on here.
Yeah,
that's my concern too. That, you know, as time goes on, you guys are just going to be twiddling your thumbs, waiting for the year to roll around to keep on with the important work to be done.
Well, and before any removals are done, there's going to have to be locates shot so that we know, you know, what we're dealing with underground.
Okay.
Can I ask if it is like 30% or whatever, if we take out 5 and then it's possible to take, say, some of those little cherries out down at the end. So it's more than 30%. Is that acceptable if we're doing the replanting and we can actually do that? Is that okay? Or, I mean, like, how rigid is that schedule?
You know,
what we're trying to figure out is, basically what will theoretically work for you guys, also ensuring that it doesn't just happen all at once. Like how to make sure there's a phase that is realistic in the phase out concept, but also in what needs to be done.
Amy, to answer your question, if the condition of approval says 30%, then that's a hard and fast 30% that's married to the approval. And so technically you would need to go through another planning action to modify that approval, but no one's made a motion or a second yet. They're just discussing.
What about if we said no more than 50% of the project per year, and that gives them up to 50%, and they're going to get it done over 2 years? Does that sound like a reasonable approach?
I was thinking of a minimum rather than a maximum, personally. But
well, we can't force them to cut down trees. You know, if budgets are budgets too.
And we're also trying to make sure they don't do it all in one fell swoop to decimate the canopy in the area.
That allows for flexibility, right, of hazard trees or like
you
pointed out, Amy. I'm thinking in particular, for example, not only of those little trees that aren't like a problem, but there is one tree that's on one of the green spaces near Tolman Creek, and it is leaning like crazy. And that's not near a home, but it is something that could be problematic. And so, I mean, that would up the 30%. So that's why I kind of like your 50% idea.
Yeah, that allows you a little more flexibility.
Well, that's a Modesto ash that's kind of in a green area there, gunned over about 45 degrees. And I think it's, I don't know how much is load bearing on the downhill side, the direction that it's falling. But if that were to let go and go into those trees hard enough, I don't think that's going to require a planning action. We would just go.
It's a hazard at that point, right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I think like the two that are broken completely in half, you know, there's no fixing those, but it would require a site visit from the city to okay that, you know, somebody would have to go out and look at that and approve that.
Casey, like in your opinion, how many years would you want the phase out to occur?
Many as possible, but it just depends on how fast we want to get that new canopy going. You know, I would think no more than 4, but that's going to depend on, you know, am I going to be here in 4 years and are they going to have the money in 4 years? So, but assuming everything goes according to plan, I would think, Amy, 4 years would be.
Yeah. Aaron, can you, I don't know if Sue can talk.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
She might like to say something here.
I've gone ahead and asked her to unmute. Now she's unmuted.
Okay.
The greatest concern I have is, so we put, you know, the best plans of mice and men, right? And we put this plan together and we could, in the meantime, find out that we run into some other issues as well. So I have a question I have to you. We have this proposed number based on what we know today that's affecting our HOA and according to the plans that we've submitted to the city. So if something else comes up in the meantime that we need to add additional trees over a period of time as we start doing this, is that something that we have the capability to do? Or is this going to be, these are the 18 trees, period, over this period of time that we need to deal with? And anything outside those trees, we would have to come back to you.
That's correct.
That's correct.
Okay, because if that's the case, I think for what we have, I think a 3-year for what we have listed here. Casey, what do you think?
Oh, it's entirely up to you. It's just it's going to be kind of on a case by case basis as to what the right. what the new plantings, what they are, and where they're going to go. But I feel pretty good about it. 3 years seems reasonable to me. 4 would be better. 5 would be optimum. But
okay, 4 years to take out the 18 trees, and then we're potentially going to have some other ones that may come up in the process.
I think we will have other ones.
Yeah, we will definitely. We know that.
I mean, if we just go with the whole tree number, with but we're going by specific trees.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Right.
So it's not like if we don't take this one down, we can take that one down kind of thing.
Well, if we, sorry to interrupt, but if we have the allowance that we say no more than 50% of listed trees per annum, you can do 10% 1 year, and, you know, you can do it over 3 years.
Right.
You can do 20%, 30%, 40%, just no more than half that list in 1 year.
And if
does that give you enough flexibility just so that we're not, because I think we're generally agreeing on principle. We're just kind of.
Yeah, we're just trying to encourage the stage removal. Like, 5 years would be great, would be ideal as far as even an uneven stage structure and canopy cover. But, you know, that's not always the reality. So that was just trying to make that point that that's a good idea to spread it out.
I think that sounds good to me, Sue.
So I'm sorry, I didn't hear that final part.
Oh, just that we were just trying to make the point that it's better to spend it out instead of all at once. That's
okay.
The whole reason that language is being suggested.
So going with 50%.
50%, yeah.
Yeah.
No more than 50% per annum. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Well, we started with 30 at 4 or 4.5 trees, so...
Yeah.
You know, even if they reach their max, they could always just say, hey, tree commission, this tree's falling over, like, approve it. You know, this is separate.
Yeah.
Separate deal.
Okay, because that's a high probability. Yeah. It's a high probability we could end up with some of those sycamores that we're trying to trim, and Casey's doing the best job possible to keep them from falling apart. But it could prove that we find, oh my God, we have this emergency situation and we're going to have to do more than that. That's a probability, but
And there are vehicles for that fee to do that. We just can't foresee that and kind of, you know, blank check it at this point. But obviously, okay. Totally receptive to what needs to happen in the future. Okay.
Yeah. The only other option I can see is we come in and say, okay, well, out of this, these are the 5 that we want to take down first. But if we have to do that every time, that's going to get tedious, I think.
Yeah, I don't think you need to do
when
that.
When I went through to prioritize these for removals, it's like I would look at one and say, okay, this is definitely first one for sure, guaranteed. I'm not going to change my mind. I would take 2 steps. No, this is definitely the first. Then I would take 2 more steps. I was like, no, this one. So, yeah. You know.
So then I guess, Casey, I just have to ask you then what you think from, you know, a year application. Is it 3 years? Is it 4 years? And I look to you to for your input on that.
Yeah, I think for the best thing for the new plantings is going to be to spread it out as long as you possibly can. That's my opinion. Just because they're going to have a little more protection. You know, we may have 2 mild summers, in which case it's not a big deal. But it could be 120 next summer, which will be a big deal.
Okay, I think I'll leave that to you guys to discuss outside of this, unless there's other questions for the applicant. We'll close it up, and I think I'm about ready to make a motion if nothing else you guys want to add.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
So, yeah, I move to approve the application that's submitted with the stipulation that no more than 50% of the trees be removed in any 1 year. And that reputable contractors continue to be used as stated in the HOA, in the application materials. well as the HOA guidelines. And that we'd be given a progress report in 2 years' time.
2 years.
Yeah.
I second that.
Any friendly amendments? Are we okay with the numbers, timeline? Yeah.
Pause. I'll pause my second in case there's a...
No, I just asked me if there's any friendly amendments or my numbers sound good. Anything else? Okay, then it's...
I'll second.
No move. We got a second from Asa. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion prepared. Thanks, guys.
Hey, nice job on handling a tricky application.
Yeah. Well, it was...
Can I request maybe like a 30-second break?
What are you going to do?
Turn on the heater.
Right.
30 seconds. Reset.
Dog. All
right.
Check the news. See if we still have a democracy.
Oh, man. No. I'm done checking the news. Peter, you know that neighborhood, right? Don't you? You had the family, brother-in-law or somebody lived there, right? Right around the corner?
Oh, yeah, right.
You got that really cool oak tree in the backyard?
That's right. You worked on that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a look down there, too. I agree that those street trees.
They've kept some really neat big old trees all the way through that development. That really big pine.
Oh, yeah. With a cable in it.
Yeah.
And it, have you worked in that one?
Towards the house, but such a cool tree. All right, so we've got
Fifth Street still and
Clay Creek Beach.
Clay Creek. Are we doing Clay Creek next?
Let's do Fifth Street.
Okay.
And we don't have anybody else here from the public, right, Aaron? That looks like the gallery is empty.
Correct. The last two applications, we do not have anyone. Well, hang on. Casey wants to talk. Casey, go ahead. Casey, did you want to talk?
He's muted. I don't know if he knows that.
He raised his hand. And there you go.
Yeah, yep. No, I was screwing around my computer. I'm good.
All right. Bye, Casey. Have a good night.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Playing Hollywood Squares.
How did he get all the way through 2020 without doing Zoom?
I know, right?
That's my question.
He's just a smart guy.
He's in the right profession.
Right?
Yeah, if it wasn't for the tree commission, I wouldn't have done Zoom. Probably wouldn't even know what it is.
Let's see. All right. Well, so we have Fifth Street, a color order, planning action, tree 2020-00135. This is at 60 Fifth Street. The applicant is Tom Phillips. The request to approve, request for approval to remove one large box elder from the back of the property at 60 Fifth Street. The tree is described as approximately 30 inches across and 50 to 60 feet tall. The tree has a large cavity about 3 feet above the ground with signs of extensive decay. The tree has dropped several large branches, posing a hazard to pedestrians and vehicle traffic. The application. Anyway, it looks like it stops there. Site visits? Abstention?
Oh, wow. That's a mistake. Sorry about that.
Let me look at this one. You guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. I met with the landowner.
It was hard to see the big pole at the base, but I could kind of see it.
Yeah, he was in the driveway. Anyway, we'll get to that. Staff report.
Yeah, this is one of those ones that's pretty straightforward. There's no arborist statement. Like I've probably told you guys before, the code has an allowance of staff may require an arborist report. And I never want to cost an applicant more money or expense than is necessary. And, when an application like this comes in and there's obvious holes or obvious photos where even a layperson like myself can look at it and go, well, that's pretty bad. I normally don't feel it's as important to stress to them that they have an arborist report. So that's all I would simply add to this application.
Okay. I would echo what Aaron said. It's pretty bad. I couldn't quite see it from the alley, and he took me in the backyard, and it's a big gnarly hole right in the face of that thing, as well as a few more up in the behind the crown. But
is he planning to have an arborist take it down?
I believe so, and they picked out an oak tree to replant there. He was pretty bummed. They said it's been their view tree for a lot of years, and wasn't super happy about taking it out, but it's, too many more years if I wouldn't want to be that's the climate.
I have a question. I agree that it should come out. I saw it. It's a mess, but I don't know a scarlet oak. They wanted to replace it, but I don't know anything about it.
It's a type of red oak, yeah, guys. Looks a bit like a similar shape to a pin oak. I always often mix the two up when they mature, but just a real pretty red oak.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with either. Corcus coquina. Yeah, in his statement, we wish to replace this tree during this winter season. I think that's awesome to get a new one in ASAP.
Yeah.
I think the tree looks, the form is like really cool. It's awesome. But being that box elders are soft and how deep the holes went, it was like, whoa. And that's the thing, is it could go at any moment.
The only thing I see, maybe, do you want to do like a minimum size for the replacement or just leave it as is?
I think it's in the code, right? Inch and a half, inch and a quarter?
Correct.
Yeah.
Is it inch and a half, Aaron? Is that?
I believe it's inch and a half. Yes, sir.
That's more than enough. Okay.
Is it? Sorry if I was spacing out when you staff report, Aaron, but is it coming to us just because it's in the public easement of the alleyway as a street tree, or is it bigger in diameter?
So, this is one of those situations where if this was in a different zone, if it was in a single family zone, this tree would be exempt from removal. But because it's zoned multifamily, that's why this is before you.
Okay. I'd imagine they wouldn't plant a really weak tree or a crappy caliper, and sometimes if we increase the caliper, it's less likely to be successful in the long run as far as root damage and stuff like that, root bound issues. So I would just leave it up to them personally.
Well, if inch and a half is the minimum standard, that's plenty. I mean,
yeah, I agree.
Okay, whose turn is it?
I make a motion to approve as submitted.
Second.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. Call to order. Planning action 2020-00136. This is adjacent to 2810 Diane Street. The owner applicant is Michael Smith, the president of Clay Creek HOA. The request for approval to remove one large hazard tree identified as a large alder tree on the bank of Clay Creek. The property is a vacant parcel of land dedicated as open space to Clay Creek HOA. The application includes a letter from Victor's Tree Service describing the tree as having a large rotted area in the trunk, and a letter from the adjacent property owner expressing concern that the tree could fall towards his house. The application includes several photos documenting both the severe lean of the tree and the area of rot. The application states that the tree poses a hazard that cannot be alleviated by pruning and that removal is the only option to mitigate the risk. Site visits on this one for extensions?
I think it should come out. Yeah. I mean, it's right on the creek right there too. I mean, if that creek, starts flooding like sometimes they do around here, that tree could definitely fall on the house.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely.
I thought the lean was actually, with cutting the tips back, the lean is kind of going kind of up the creek a ways. I don't know if it would strike the house with a little bit of you know, bringing the weight back. I also was, I was checking out the rot, and I wasn't quite sure if it was actually like a secondary stem that had rotted away and that there was included bark we just couldn't see, you know, without doing some like excavating, we wouldn't know. Like when I looked at the pictures when I first showed up, I was like, oh my gosh. And then as I looked at it, I was like, you know, this tree's not that big. It's not like,
it looks to me like it's almost girdled too. I mean, it's pretty bad, especially on the one side, but I don't know. I wouldn't want it around my house. I know that.
But. And then, Aaron, was that tree like, was it part of to be sort of kept in an original plan of that producing that little park?
So, you know, I don't know the history of that. This piece of land is open space from when the subdivision was dedicated. And literally, if that tree was 20 feet further to the west, again, it would be exempt. Because it is vacant land in single family, the exemption doesn't exist, which is why it's before you.
And then, you know, also I wonder, because it's like right in the riparian area, is there any kind of rules? From what I've heard, we're not supposed to cut down anything in the riparian area unless it's a cleared hazard.
So if there was more than three trees in a water resource protection zone, that would trigger a more advanced planning action. But if it's only one, that threshold doesn't kick in. And the reason for that is, I'm not sure what the intent was when that code was drafted. From a nuts and bolts manner, that larger planning action, if it was three or more, is a much more expensive planning action, like over $1,000. I think the intention was that it's reasonable that from time to time you may need to remove a tree from the water resource protection zone without going through that more extensive review, right?
I think if I was a neighbor that really liked the tree and it was removed, I would be a little upset, but there's no one here representing themselves. The only person that's represented themselves is in favor.
And a mailed notice got sent out to all properties within 200 feet. So, and you know that the adjacent property owner, his letter's in the record. So.
Do they have to mitigate?
Yeah. So provided you make that as a condition of approval, yes. When it's a hazard tree removal, mitigation may be required is the language that's used. If it's a tree that's not a hazard, then mitigation is required. If it is a hazard removal, then there's the option.
Yeah.
Always nice to have trees along creeks.
I like the idea of mitigation, of putting something else in. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, looking at this, I hadn't noticed it before you said that, Asa, but it does look like there was a secondary trunk that was in that the fold of that bark that has rotted away and fallen away at some point. So it may not be actual rot to this primary trunk here. Not being an arborist and not having an arborist is, oh, there was an arborist report with this.
You know, when I'm looking at it now, the one picture that we have that's like this, it shows like the whole main, you know, it's the most up close.
Yeah.
Right in this region, you can see the heartwood of that old old limb. It's on the upper right-hand side. And now that I'm looking at it again, that heartwood of that limb that had been pruned off or trunk, that heartwood rot would have continued to the heartwood of the existing stem. So I think...
So it could very well be a hazard.
Yeah, I don't think there's included bark. I think that rot is inside the stem.
Yeah.
Well, there's an arborist here, Victor's Tree Service, said it appears to be rotted in a 4-foot area of the trunk, which is what you just showed. Looked pretty bad to me.
Are we ready to make a motion to approve with the requirement for a replacement?
I think so.
I make a motion to approve as submitted with a replacement appropriate tree for the riparian bank there.
A second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. That's it.
There's a discussion item that is in your packet.
And just to follow up too on this old business, I know it's not on here, but Kat, I haven't heard back from Brian French, so
I
might reach out to him again directly.
Okay, well, if I haven't heard from you in the next 10 days, I'll just go ahead and edit as per whatever our discussions were before. Okay. And then resubmit it to you guys, and we can move on from there.
Okay. Asa, this looks like, what you sent me. Thank you so much for doing that groundwork. I've been curious to see how they're going to take this. So this is a positive movement. Maybe you want to catch us all up on what you got here.
Yeah, well, basically, with the contractor's construction board, you got to do so many hours of continuing education to renew your license, and as well as with the landscaping board. And basically, being an arborist, the contractor's construction board doesn't really have anything aside from law that's very applicable to continued education. And so I was talking to the landscaping, the board, they'll count as volunteering on a commission as educational hours or,
really?
Units and stuff. Yeah. With a max of, I think 3 hours equals 1 hour of continuing ed. And they said, a max of 4 continuing ed hours. So Eric, this applies to you. You can
thank you.
4 hours if you just fill out the form.
Thank you.
They also said, how was it? So essentially they said, oh, you're on a tree commission. Well, this is really cool. Let us forward you this info, which is what I forwarded to Chris and Aaron about that. There's been a transition. The CCB, the Contractors Construction Board, has always sort of held like the power when it comes to trees, and they deem them as residential structures.
Trees
are considered residential, which kind of makes sense for wildlife habitat. But as far as, so they gave the landscapers board permission at some point to be able to remove, landscapers can plant trees, but for some time they couldn't remove them. That was news to me. But so anyway, the contractors construction board gave the landscape board permission to be able to remove them. So landscapers can remove trees and contractors can remove trees, but contractors can't plant trees. So there's a lot of arborists out there or a lot of tree knowledgeable people that aren't licensed with the landscapers board that would like to plant trees, but can't legally plant trees. It's from what I've been told. And so the landscapers board is basically saying, hey, as long as someone's certified as an arborist, either through True Care International or ISA, something like that, they said, hey, we're going to go ahead and let people get a license as a landscaper to do tree work. The landscapers board has all sorts of things like irrigation or different chunks, backflow testing, all these different kind of specialized things. So some landscapers might be certified to build a brick wall, but they're not necessarily certified to, do irrigation from what I know or from what I've, gathered.
That's true.
So Eric, you might know a lot more about this than me, but I thought it was interesting that essentially Oregon could have a lot more contractors doing large tree planting than we have before, you know, because typically you have to be a landscaper to plant trees, and now you can just be a contractor as long as you're certified as an arborist and you've got the landscape, you know, certification to plant trees, you can do it. So there's going to be a potentially a flood of contractors. I don't know about developers, but contractors wanting to plant trees. So that could maybe come up in the future as far as crappy plantings. You'd think as being a certified arborist, they would know, but you know, it's just a test in money that makes them certified and some knowledge too. I mean, I'm not certified. So anyway, I thought it was interesting to bring up because, you know, particularly in your line of work, Eric, it could pose a problem of just some people coming in and planting trees.
Let me tell you
this in the future.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems in that. And they're making the licenses, the requirements are getting less and less and less and less. Mm-hmm. Too. Yeah. And probably the same way with you guys. So it just is what it is. But, you know, what do people want? Do they want a professional or do they want somebody to come? Yeah, man, I'll plant that. You know what you pay for.
For a guy like me, I'm excited about it because as a, you know, all tree guys are supposed to have their CCB prior to a few years ago, and with an LCB you could do tree work. But like Mesa said, you couldn't plant them. So as an arborist, once you plant trees, I legally can't unless I cut one down first. I think I legally can, you know, replace a tree. But I just always thought the dumbest thing that arborist can't plant a tree.
Wow. Yeah, that's
trees. I'm pretty sure you might want to check this because I think it's the number. It's not, I mean, you might not be able to plant 40 trees, but you can plant a tree if you take it down, even if you don't take it down, but it has to be a similar or the same species, I believe. You guys want, I can look that up for next meeting.
It's fine. I know I can't advertise that I plant trees, and there are arborists that are being sued by the CCB for planting trees.
Yeah, well, the CCB enforcer guy that goes around and, you know, investigates right. unlicensed people, I talked to him at a laws and rules and regulations class, and he said, no, you can't plant a single tree. And I was like, well, I'm just not going to tell you.
But I could plant a tree.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I can't advertise. Well, I could advertise that I plant trees, couldn't I? I mean, what's to stop someone planting trees? That sounds crazy.
You can plant your own tree, but you can't go and go get paid to do it as a job without being licensed. That's what they're saying. Not that like, if you want to go out in your yard and plant a tree, yes, of course you can.
Or plant
so all those landscaping companies that have tons of employees that are out there planting trees in new developments, each one of those people?
No, you have to have a supervising licensed contractor.
Okay.
And there's two types of contractors. There's contracting business and a licensed contracting individual.
Okay.
I got them all.
You got them all, which is good because it gets complicated underground real quick.
Yeah, just take the test, get them all, and you don't have to worry about it.
Cool.
That is interesting, though. And they will fine you. They definitely, they've got private, they don't actually have a person that works specifically for the OLCB that goes out and finds you. They hire independent people that do that, and they'll go around and find you. So you definitely want to know what you're doing. You don't want to get fined.
All right, guys. Okay. If I wrap it up,
I want to touch base real quickly on one item. Yeah. Kat, I wanted to just, since we're at the end of the meeting, with regard to, I believe it's 755 North Mountain You threw me off earlier when you referred to it as oak.
Yeah, sorry.
It's being handled currently by code enforcement. I got an email either today or yesterday inviting, well, someone from planning is going to end up going on a walkthrough with code enforcement to try to begin to make a determination on, you know, how many trees were removed, what was removed. Apparently, the property owner, first of all, this property has some significant backstory. In 2015, I want to say, they got in there and did some work that was unpermitted to try to reroute the water course of what I believe is called Kitchen Creek there. I may have that name wrong. And so there have been, this is not the first rodeo with this property owner. As I understand it, following the September 8th fire, he got some letter from the fire department discussing fuel mitigation. What that letter told him to do was pretty minor, but he used that letter as a free pass that this is what the fire department told me to do. And of course, even if the fire department gives you a letter saying that you have to mitigate certain fire hazards on your property, that doesn't exempt you from the permitting process should it apply. So I don't have more of an answer for you than that. Code enforcement is always a drawn out thing, especially if you have a property owner who is less than forthcoming. So I will try to update you as I know more.
Okay. And what are the, so my understanding is that something like 50 feet from the center of a creek, either side, not supposed to do any clearing, even if it's blackberries, because of riparian protection, without supervision from the governing body, would be that City of Ashland or ODFW or whoever. Is that?
It's not quite that clear cut. There's different ratings of water courses, and depending on the water course, that distance is wider. Regarding blackberries specifically, in the water, and forgive me, I don't have the entire water resource protection zone memorized, but I'm virtually certain that there is a provision that allows for the removal of noxious weed and vegetation. So yes, someone could clear blackberries even within that zone, but then there's thresholds, right? Because if any amount of work is going to exceed the disturbance of more than 1,000 square feet, then we're in a different story. So the exemption for dealing with noxious weeds and blackberries is a limited one. So it really depends on the details of what's being proposed to be done. If it's a small patch of blackberries and you're right up to the waterway, no problem. But as soon as you pass that 1,000 square foot of disturbed land, that whole chapter comes in, and then we're having a land use issue. So, and I'm more than happy to talk to you more about the water resource protection zone. It's in section 18.3.11 of the municipal code. And so feel free to give me a call if you have questions about it or want to discuss it further.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely way over 1,000 square feet.
Oh, I know.
He's absolutely molested that land. And I really hope that there's some kind of severe financial code enforcement levied against this landowner, because he's obviously belligerently abusing that beautiful piece of land. It's otter, beaver, bird habitat, it's salmon. I mean, the amount of work that's gone into North Mountain Park to try and to create this beautiful corridor, and he has completely put that that riverway at risk there. The next big flood, they're going to lose, you know, a huge chunk of land just because he's completely ripped up right to the bank all of the shrubbery and small trees. So I really hope they throw the book at this bloke. I had neighbors coming by as I was walking over the land saying, "What are you guys doing about this?" And I'm like, "I don't know. This is the first time I've seen this."
Right.
So, yeah.
I would, the only people I've talked with that know, well, I mean, of course the city, but Freshwater Trust, there's a man named Eugene that works for the Freshwater Trust.
I emailed them and they have not gotten back to me at all on it. So I don't know. I emailed them about, not long after I emailed you, Aaron. So maybe a week ago.
Yeah. And Andrew Barrow is the code enforcement specialist. And so if you wanted more information about the goings on, I'd have you contact Andrew.
Okay, great. Thank you for following.
You're very welcome. Absolutely.
Just one more note on that, as far as we're moving BlackBerries. So I did talk to the Freshwater Trust once, and they told me that a certain distance from the high water mark, you know, as far as that zone that you can't mess with, and they said, well, you can't remove the BlackBerries, but you can poison them. I thought that was interesting that in, you know, the way a lot of property owners get around stuff is they poison it versus remove it, you know, because it's considered wildlife habitat. And I get what Aaron was saying too, you know, as far as invasive species, there are certain exceptions, and maybe in certain streams that is the case, but in the stream I was working in, I couldn't remove BlackBerries.
But doesn't that also, it's operating under the principle that poisons don't perpetuate in the soil, which is
or the water.
Questionable
water, yeah.
At best.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of loopholes.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, we've got our eye on them now.
Go get them. No, I think that's great. Yeah, more awareness around this. I'm going to have a look. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, go take a look.
It's pretty bad.
If you park at North Mountain Park and then just walk towards the retirement village, as soon as you're over the bridge, you can take a hard left down and walk along the bank. Right. And it's it was heartbreaking, honestly. I saw wildlife in there that was just like, I don't know. I get too emotional about this stuff, but it's just been absolutely mauled.
Yeah.
With bulldozers.
Yeah, that's a cool property.
Yeah, it's a beautiful property. It should be public.
Okay, 7:50, right. We'll adjourn.
Great.
Y'all.
Good to see you all.
Thank you. Yeah, you too.
Bye, everybody.
See you next time.
Bye.